Ironman only 4 weeks away now, and the town of Youghal really preparing itself for what is going to be one of the biggest festivals of all time hitting the East Cork town. I'm delighted to say John Ennis joins us on the line for another update on the latest topics in that are running around the Ironman. And John, thanks very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks again, Per. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, John. It has very much been a busy time, and I suppose let's start. I suppose we've got a list of things to get through, but let's start off with the just a reminder, I suppose, of the road closures. We know the routes around East Cork now at this stage, but around the town that week, John, what way are road closures now sizing up?
Okay, we have leaflet drops going on at the moment, and over the next week and a half to 2 weeks, everybody on the route and near the route will have a leaflet in the door that outlines exactly what's happening, and there's a map on the back of that with exact timings and things. We have a phone number on there now at this stage as well that's live. If somebody has a query and they need to know about how to get in and out and get to work, that phone number will help them to do that. Just give that a call. Basically, the way it's working, I know there's a lot of sentiment out there, and I'm hearing a lot of feedback that says, oh, town is closed for the week. It's not. By and large, for the week, Ironman will be here from a week before the event. The staff, our events crew will be here building the venues at Castle and at Green Park. The only requirement there is they'll have a truck that will rock up, need to be unloaded, and then move on, the same as you would for any other delivery coming to town. There won't be any road closures associated with that, and that's true right through from Monday until Friday. You can expect Green Park to be closed to the public, and Clare Castle will be closed to the public, but you can still park in Front Strand and walk down the beach. You can still use the boardwalk. We won't be affecting those. So it'll be very, very minor what interruptions you'll see from Ironman in the week leading up to the event. It does get busy then on Saturday, because on Saturday we're building in the finish line, which will be spectacular. It's a huge finish line. There's a lot of logistics in that. That's going to take place on Lighthouse Hill between the Lighthouse and Green Park. And we're also going to have the 2,500 athletes plus their families all congregating at Green Park to do their registrations and do their bit of sticking their head in the door of the expo and buying their T-shirts, so to speak. And they're going to then want to move out to Clare Castle. So that area is going to be pedestrianised on Saturday. There'll be no traffic allowed in Lighthouse Hill on Saturday, but there are alternatives for getting into town. We will have the parking and shuttle bus service on at that stage as well on Saturday. So anybody coming in from outside the town will be directed up to the top of the bypass from either side, from the Waterford or the Cork side. You take the slip roads off the bypass and come into Frogmore up at the top of town. You're heading in towards the rugby club, where we've got some fields laid out up there for parking. There will be a shuttle bus service then, so visitors to the town will pay €5 exiting the car park to cover their car park and to cover the cost of their shuttle bus. That will get them down onto the town then, where they can walk around town and enjoy a coffee or enjoy the atmosphere or whatever they want to do. Locals, I suppose, I'm concerned about locals, that they are worried about how do they get in and out. Basically, if you need to get in or out, you would be advised to put your car up to the car park that gets access out onto the N25 before the road closures come into play on Sunday. The shuttle bus service in town is free to locals. We'd probably do a sticker drop for cars, so that the cars on the main street that park there regularly, they may get a sticker stuck on the windscreen in the days leading up to the event, so that we can identify easily. But I think, to be fair, the team we have up at the rugby club, most of them will know most of the locals anyway, and the shuttle bus service for them will be free. On Sunday then, the main event kicks off from very early in the morning, and the road closures within town begin at 6:30 in the morning. So if you need to get in or out of town, you're advised to put your car up to the rugby club car parking on Saturday night. Either walk back down or get a shuttle bus service back down to town, and forget about your car the night you need it on Sunday morning, when you can get a shuttle back up and get away if you need to get away, or if you're coming in, that's how to come into the town. If you live up in the estates, it's very easy. If you can get to the rugby club without crossing the route of the event, you can get in and out of town by simply going via the rugby club and out onto the N25. Same with if you need to come back in. Down the bottom of the town really is what's affected the most, and we're also asking that on Saturday night between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock, anybody who regularly parks on the street, on the route for the run, that they would move their cars out of the area and put them either into their own private parking or put them out in Tesco's car park for the duration. They'll be able to go out and get them back at midnight on Sunday night, and on Monday morning there'll be very little evidence that Ironman ever took place, other than the fact that the expo will still be open. You're still going to have a lot of athletes around town, licking their wounds, having their breakfast, getting a coffee and getting themselves into the award ceremony. which this year is taking place in the Walter Alley at about 11 o'clock, and that normally takes about an hour and a half. That's when the corner slots will be rolled down to the athletes. So that's, there's a bit of good buzz around that as well. Just I would expect a little, it's just the fact it's going to be busy. We've no road closures planned for those, but town will be very, very busy with all the athletes and their families and friends. Just literally walking the streets, grabbing a coffee, taking it easy and analysing amongst themselves. They'll all be smiling. They'll have big grins from ear to ear with their shiny new medals, hopefully, and hopefully the sun will be shining for us.
And that leads us nicely into the medals, John, because I've seen this weekend, it's up on the Ironman Ireland page and the COI page, that the medal was launched, and it's a gorgeous looking medal, John.
It's a beautiful medal, yeah. We've been kicking around a few designs there over the winter, and we kind of settled on this one way back at the start of the spring. It went to be minted then, and we got the delivery of them there during the week. So they were launched yesterday. The first photographic evidence of them were launched yesterday there to the athletes and shared around on Facebook, needless to say. It's a round bronze medal. It's a good, heavy, clunky medal, as all Ironman medals are. It's got the kind of Celtic design, the Newgrange-style design in the background with a raised version of a map of Ireland then, with Cork highlighted in red and our own lovely clock 8 sticking out loud and proud in the middle of it, with obviously Ironman Ireland 2019 on the logo and branding on it. And the distances are on there as well. So when the athletes are sitting back next winter and they're memorising and remembering all the good times they had down with us in Yall, then it'll bring it into sharp focus when they're staring at their lovely medal of Ironman Ireland Cork.
Just to rewind back to the parking and shuttle service as well, John, because that was launched earlier this week as well.
Yeah, the details are actually on the Ironman website. So if you go to ironmaneurope.com or ironmanireland.com, have a look for those. They come up very much up at the top. Go into the page there where you'll see the lovely photograph of y'all. And just underneath the photograph, there's a list of links. There's a button there that says athletes. If you just put your mouse over the athletes, down comes a list underneath. Shuttle buses is in there, and if you click into that, it leads you into all the information about the parking and the shuttles. Basically, the way the shuttles will work on race day is they will serve from 3 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock in the morning. They will serve from the rugby club down to the start of the race. So athletes will be parking in Ballyvergan mainly, but some of them will be parking up at the top of town. They'll be using the shuttles to get down. Spectators will be parking up at the top of town and using the shuttles to get down to the start. And then as the day goes on and when the bikes are gone off out on the route, the shuttle bus routes will develop into circular routes that will go around town, come down Cork Hill, go across Raheen Road, over through Kilcoran and down onto Strand there to pick up. Especially later in the day when athletes begin finishing there at about 3 o'clock onwards, the shuttle service will become a circular or an orbital one. And it's literally for locals, as I say, it's jump on, jump off. There's no need for special passes or there's no need for payment. You just jump on, jump off, and they'll take you up to the central car parking at the top of town.
Okay. What about the Facebook groups, John? Because there's been a lot of information. For anyone that has been on, there's a lot of information that's going up on a weekly, if not a daily basis.
Yeah, and as things change as well, we're updating it on there, and that's the best way to stay fully up to speed with what is going on. The minute something happens and we're aware of it, it goes on there. We are trying from the very, very start to get as much information out there as we can. Sometimes you don't put stuff out there because it's not finalised, it's not signed off, it's not agreed, and everybody then, if there's a vacuum, people tend to make up what their own version is of what's happening. So if you want the facts, that's where you'll find them, and they're as up to date as we can have them. It's on IM Cork Local Info. IM Cork Local Info. They're all separate words. Have a look for that on Facebook. Get in there if you're not already in there. It's so that we can keep the local people in East Cork informed as to what's going on. If there's any change to road closure policies or anything like that, or change to times, we don't envisage them, but we have all that information posted up there. We have links to the shuttle bus information up there. We have links to the race itself and the details up there. And there's loads more information to come down the tracks. We push that up there as well once we have it.
Okay, perfect stuff. John, there's 2,670 athletes have been registered for the competition. At the moment, what way are we looking at numbers?
At the moment, realistically, we're looking at 2,400 starting on the start line there on race day. The reasons for that are as varied as the numbers of people, but by and large, what you get at this stage is somebody who's been kind of nursing an injury maybe for the last few weeks. The injury's just saying no. Their doctors and physios and coaches will be telling them no. So they will have withdrawn at this stage, which is the wiser thing to do probably in most cases. They'll have deferred. The deferrals window actually closed there last week, but we have that figure because we know what way we are with the deferrals at this stage. So those people would have deferred to a later race this year at another venue, or to Ironman Ireland Cork 2020, which will go on sale actually during the race this year.
Okay, interesting enough. I do believe there is one change to the course through today.
Yeah, for the athletes, I suppose, they're the ones that are going to see this one. But it's designed with a number of things in mind. The nature of the conditions on the beach in Youghal kind of lend themselves more to this, actually, than they did to the triangular course that we had. And we've made the change since the test we did last weekend with some athletes. And it really, really worked well. It's safer for the athletes. It's a fairer course for the athletes. It's a safer course for the safety crews to manage. And what it does is it evens out the fact that you're swimming up tight for a period of time and down tight for a period of time. It's just that we've changed the triangle into a rectangle. It's up on the website, and it went out on the athletes' information pack this week as well to them. So they're all well aware of it. It definitely does make for a safer swim route, and we're delighted with it that it does work, and it's something that I suppose, you know, you try things, you test things. We won't really know on the race day exactly what the layout will be, because we've got four different versions of it that will allow us to accommodate different weather conditions and different conditions on the day. So it's designed obviously with safety in mind, but also with spectators. We did a test last Sunday now where we sent the athletes out 200 metres and they did the rectangle out at that distance. But for people on the shoreline, it was hard to see or to try and pick out your athlete. So if conditions are good on the day, that rectangle will be brought in a bit closer to the shore. So you should be within eyesight of the athletes as they're doing their swim.
Okay, and just to roughly, I believe it's changed from a triangle to a rectangle, which is going to be, obviously, as you say yourself, it's going to be a lot easier to see swimming from right to left or left to right, whichever way it might be.
Yeah. It's a tidier, it's a little bit longer if we keep it closer to the shore just to get the distance back into it, but from the point of view of the safety teams, it makes their lives an awful lot easier. They're not fighting with surf while they're trying to keep an eye on swimmers and count swimmers. 2,500 swimmers is a lot of people in the water. Anybody who would have seen the walk there a couple of weeks ago, the Darkness into Light walk, would have an idea what those kind of numbers look like. And when you're pushing that many people into the sea for a swim, it's a big spectacle. It's something huge to see, and we really like the spectators to see it and experience it, and to probably hopefully pick out their athletes on the day and spot them and keep an eye on them as they are going around.
As well as that, John, you mentioned about athletes info packs. They were sent out during the week, and it's a 38 page document, plenty of information for the 2,400 athletes.
Everything except what you eat for your breakfast. They get, because like, you got to bear in mind you've got athletes coming from 62 countries. They don't know Youghal. Most of them couldn't even say the word Youghal yet. We hope we'll fix that while they're here. But this pack gives them all the specific race information about where they need to be at what time in the week leading up to. There's times there when registration is open. We try to do that in a rolling by their number sequence. It doesn't always work, but it just makes it a little bit easier to keep the crowds fairly steady rather than have peaks and troughs. Again, with racking the bikes on Saturday, they're allocated times based on their numbers that they're expected to come to Clare Castle and rack up their bikes. It explains to them what bags they're going to be given. We will give them red bag, blue bag and white bag, and then they get two special needs bags as well. And the way that works is, before they go down and rack up on Saturday, they'll put their running gear in the red bag, they'll put their cycling gear in the blue bag, and they'll bring those with them when they go in to set up their bike on Saturday. They'll then go into the big tent that's going to be set up in Clare Castle, and there will be racks in there with their numbers on them. They'll hang the bags. The run bag goes on top, cycle bag goes in the bottom, and their numbers are on the bags. Imagine, if you will, like 2,500 pairs of bags hanging. It takes up a lot of area, but it's all done by their race number. Everything is their race number, and they get a wristband with a QR code with their race number as well on it, and that's their access to everywhere they need to be for the weekend. And then the white bag is one they bring with them on the race morning, where they put their, when they arrive down to transition on Sunday morning to race, they're going to take off whatever they're wearing, put on their wetsuits, and what they take off goes in the white bag. And we've got a team of volunteers then who will take their white bags and bring them down to where the finish line is at Green Park, so that they'll be ready for them down there when they come across the finish line. That they have something warm to put on them, something dry to put on them, that they don't get cold and that they don't get too tired too fast. And they may even have something to eat inside there. That's up to themselves what they put in it. Then the special needs bags, what they're about is, a lot of the professional athletes would have their own sponsored nutrition that they would have tactically laid around the course for them. But Ironman have extended that to all the athletes in recent years. What it means is that when they go into register, they have the option of picking up a special needs bag, writing their number on it, and they can put anything that they want to use out in the course, like special nutrition, or if they do have special dietary needs and things like that, they can put into these bags, and they know beforehand where they can get these bags. On the bike route, these bags will be at the aid station that we'll have set up by the dog track. So they'll pass that twice. They'll pass it at the end of both laps on the bike. And then they will have another one out at where we give them their wristbands, their lap counting wristbands out by Foxhall. There'll be a bag out there on the run. So if there's special nutrition that they want to put, if they just want to put a raincoat or something out there in case the weather gets bad, whatever they want to put in those bags, they can. And they can just pick them up as they're going along on the day on the route.
Okay, two final things, John, that I have for you. Firstly, volunteers. How are we fixed for volunteers? Are you still looking for some?
We'll always take more. I always say the more the merrier. We're home and dry with what we need. But that's not to say lastminute.com. Something comes up and we need somebody for there, or somebody who was signed up just for whatever reason can't make it on the day. So there's an active link. If you go onto that IM Cork local info page again, there's an announcement up at the top of that, and in there there's a link, there's a series of links to all the different things that people need to be able to get at. One of them there is an active.com link where you can go in and volunteer, or if you just drop one of us an email or message us through the page if you're willing to volunteer, we'd be delighted to have you. The atmosphere, like, you'll get a staff t-shirt for the weekend, you'll get a goodie bag for the whatever you're doing to help us out, depending on the time of day, like the guys helping us with swim safety, we'll get a breakfast roll before they go on the water. The guys out on the course during the day will get something depending on where they're covering and what they're doing. They'll probably get a roll and a bottle of water or whatever. Or they, you know, there's something there for everybody in that sense. I think the big one is the T-shirt. Everybody likes to get a T-shirt with Ironman on it. So as a volunteer, you do get a volunteer staff T-shirt for the... And it's a real, real keepsake. It's something that, you know, to say that you're involved with delivering something like an Ironman, that looks shiny on any CV.
Yeah, it sure does indeed. Finally, accommodation, John. How are we fixed with accommodation? And have we people, enough people housed around the area?
We are delighted with what we've got at the moment. We've got tons of accommodation within Youghal. Still standing by, waiting for athletes or waiting for staff to come in and occupy them. Not sure that we'll fill them all. We are seeing a little bit of movement with athletes who were previously booked further away from the venue, trying to regroup a little bit closer to the venue. What they're getting, there's a little bit of feedback from their own club members, a lot of them where they're actually getting, where they were based in Youghal originally. I think they're feeding back to a lot of the members that, look, there is still accommodation open in Youghal and available. So there's a little bit of that, so there's a little bit of kind of recycling of accommodation going on. We've got something in the order of 60 to 70 houses at the moment, and we've got about 20 apartments still available for athletes. Like, anybody who at this stage doesn't have their accommodation sorted probably needs to get their head examined. But as I say, a little bit of recycling and reorganising is going on, where people who are, we'll say, travelling from Waterford on the day, for example, would be trying to get a little bit closer to town. And we're able to squeeze them all in, because looking at it from a business point of view for Youghal, the more people that we can keep and put up in Youghal, the more people will spend their money buying their nutrition in Youghal and feeding themselves and going out and having a drink in the evening in Youghal. And it's all money that stays in Youghal when the race is gone.
John, anything else that we need to add this afternoon?
No, I think that pretty much is as much news as I've got for you. Other than that, just to thank you for all the opportunities to get the information through. It's really helpful to be able to do that. We're happy to answer any questions that people have. You now have the phone number that's out there. You now have, as I say, that Facebook page is out there again, that IM Cork Local Info one. Get yourselves on there. And if you do have a question, don't be afraid to ask us, as the fellow says. Our phones are nearly always on and ready to answer calls. We're hoping to do another round of information evenings in early June. So I think we're looking at the week of the 12th. We're probably going to do a whistle-stop tour of all the towns and villages on the route. And just, again, an open forum, walk in, ask a question if you have it. And we'll do our best to answer it. It's all about getting... I think when the community are informed about what's going on, I think they receive it an awful lot better. And that's our always been our mission from the very start, to keep the information flowing and keep people up to speed on what's happening.
Well, look, John, our doors and phone lines are always open. Thanks a million again for joining us this afternoon, and I'm sure we'll keep up to date over the next couple of weeks.
Thanks very much, Pat.